Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a saturated old-school DNB mid base from scratch in Ableton Live 12, and more importantly, we're arranging it so it actually behaves like a real drop element, not just a cool sound in solo. This is the kind of bass that sits in that crucial zone between the sub and the top-end ear candy. It's the attitude, the movement, the pressure, the part that makes a drum and bass groove feel alive. In old-school jungle, rollers, and darker neural-leaning DNB, the mid-bass is often doing a huge amount of emotional and rhythmic heavy lifting, so today we're going to make one that's gritty, monosafe, punchy, and musical. First thing, create a new MIDI track and build an instrument rack so we can keep the layers organized from the start. We're going to use Waveeatable for the main mid-bass, and Operator for a clean sub-layer. If we need more texture later, we can add a third chain, but let's earn that first. On the Waveeatable chain, start simple. Use a saw wave on oscillator 1. For oscillator 2, use a square or another saw and to tune it just a little against the first oscillator. Don't go huge with unison yet. In fact, for this style, too much width too early is a common mistake. Keep the voices modest. We want tension, not a blurry stereo cloud. As a starting point, set the filter to low pass 24 and keep the cutoff somewhere around 180 to 350 Hz. That gives us a controlled tone that still has some edge. Add a subtle envelope amount so the filter opens a little on each hit, but not so much that it starts sounding like a generic EDM bass. We're after old-school character, which usually means the sound is a bit rough around the edges and a little emotionally unstable in a good way. Now add operator on the second chain for the sub. Keep it a clean sine wave, keep it mono, and tune it to the root notes of your bass line. The sub should be boring in the best possible way. Its job is wait. Let the mid-bass handle the personality. This split is really important. Think in bands of responsibility. The sub handles wait, the mid-bass handles character, and the upper harmonics handle presence. If one layer is trying to do all three jobs, the patch might sound impressive in solo, but it will usually fall apart in the mix. Next, we shape the tone with saturation before we overprocess anything. On the Waveeatable chain, drop in saturator right after the synth. Start with drive around 2 to 8 dB, turn soft clip on, and listen carefully. We're not trying to destroy the tone. We're trying to add harmonic density and a little clip digression. If you want extra dirt, you can add overdrive or roar after that, but keep it under control. Old-school DNB bass often sounds bigger because it's harmonically rich, not because it's just smashed bits. A little clipped grit goes a long way. After saturator, at EQ 8, if your sub is living on its own separate chain, gently high pass the mid chain somewhere around 70 to 120 Hz. That clears space for the sub. If the tone feels muddy, cut a bit around 200 to 400 Hz. If it feels too polite, a small boost in the 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz zone can help it cut through breaks. A nice advanced move here is to duplicate the Waveeatable chain, distort the copy harder, and blend it quietly underneath the cleaner version. That gives you parallel grit without flattening the main sound. It's a really effective way to make a bass feel dangerous while keeping the core punch intact. Now let's add movement, but with intention. Old-school bass movement should feel alive, not random. Inside Waveeatable, assign an LFO to the filter cutoff. Try syncing it to the groove at something like 1/8, 1/8 dotted, or 1/16 depending on how busy you want the phrase to feel. Keep the modulation amount fairly shallow at first. You want movement, not wobble for the sake of wobble. If you want a slightly more human feel, use an asymmetric LFO shape instead of a perfect square or triangle. That little imperfection gives the bass more attitude. You can also map a macro, something like bass motion, to filter cutoff, saturator drive, Waveeatable position, and maybe a little gain trim. Then you can automate that macro across the arrangement to evolve the bass over 8 or 16 bars without rewriting the MIDI. Now write the actual bass line. And here's the key. In drum and bass, the mid-bass should answer the drums, not fight them. Use short notes on off beats. Leave space for the snare. Add occasional tied notes or longer sustains for contrast, but don't fill every gap just because you can. In DNB, less note density than you think is often the right move. Think in call and response. Kick and snare hit, bass answers. Break fill happens, bass accents the turnaround. A strong bass line often feels heavier because it leaves room for the groove to breathe. A simple pattern with precise note lengths will usually hit harder than a busy one that's trying to impress you. A good arrangement strategy is to start sparse for the first four bars of the drop, then add movement in bars 5 to 8, introduce a switch up in bars 9 to 12, and simplify again in bars 13 to 16 so the final push feels bigger. That kind of phrase logic makes the bass feel like it's telling a story instead of just looping. Now let's lock the sub and mid together without muddying the low end on the sub chain. Keep it fully mono with utility. Don't let it widen. Don't let it get overexcited. On the Rackmaster, check that the low end isn't spreading too much. If needed, use utility and keep the width very narrow, especially below about 120 Hz. This is one of the biggest mix realities in D&B. The kick and sub relationship is sacred. If your mid bass tries to live down in sub territory too, the groove loses power fast. Clean low end separation makes the whole track feel louder, clearer, and more professional. If you want a touch of sidechain from the kick, use compressor lightly. Fast attack, moderate release, and only enough gain reduction to let the kick breathe. Don't overdo the pumping unless that's specifically the style you want. For darker rollers, a gentle duck can make the groove feel tighter. For old school jungle energy, a looser relationship can feel more organic, especially if the breaks are doing a lot of the rhythmic work. Now we stop thinking like sound designers for a second and start thinking like arrangers. The same bass patch should have multiple states. Build at least three. One restrained version for intro or build-up, one full version for the main drop, and one more open or more distorted version for peak moments. Then automate those states across a 16 or 32 bar drop. For example, bars 1 to 4 can establish the motif with moderate filtering and tight rhythm. Bars 5 to 8 can add a second answer or an octave jump. Bars 9 to 12 can introduce a fill, a reverse tail, or a bit more saturation. Bars 13 to 16 can pull back slightly, so the ending punches harder. A really useful trick here is to automate a low-pass opening over 8 bars while increasing saturation a little at the same time. That makes the bass feel like it's getting angrier as the drop progresses, which is exactly the kind of tension release language that works so well in underground D&B. If you want more character, resample the bass. Freeze and flatten it, or record it to audio. Then duplicate the audio track. Keep one version cleaner, and on the other, push the saturation harder or add a touch of clipping. Blend them back together carefully. That gives you a more performance-like feel, almost like a classic hardware chain that's been lived in a bit. Ableton stock tools are enough here. Saturator for harmonics, Redux for subtle grain if you want a broken digital edge, auto filter for animated band limiting, and drum bus if the bass needs a bit more knock. Just be careful, resampling should add attitude, not kill definition. And remember, always build the bass against the drums, not after them. Put the kick, snare, and break in place first. Loop 8 bars. Then add the bass line and move note positions until it locks. If the groove feels too static, add ghost notes in the break or percussion. If needed, use transient heavy bass stabs to answer snare accents. Sometimes the best bass move is not more processing. Sometimes it's just tightening the envelope. If the bass feels loud, but not powerful, check the amplitude shape before reaching for another plugin. A tighter envelope often gives you more punch than extra distortion ever will. Here's a great advanced variation. Build two characters from the same bass patch. One version is tighter, cleaner, and more rhythmic. The other is dirtier, slightly wider in the upper mids, and a bit more resonant. Then alternate them across sections. That's especially useful if you're making a drop with a first half and second half, or if you want the bass to evolve without changing the core identity. You can also do phrase-based automation instead of constantly moving parameters every bar. Think in automation events. One bar where the filter opens. One bar where the drive bumps up. One bar where the tone closes down for contrast. That makes the arrangement feel deliberate rather than constantly twitchy. If you want a stronger stereo effect without ruining the low end, keep the core centered and only widen selected upper mid accents for a moment. A single wide accent note, then back to mono before the next snare, can make the bass feel bigger without causing low end blur. For darker and heavier D&B, another useful trick is a ghost bass layer. That's a very low level duplicate with less low end, more distortion, and a shorter decay. Blend it in only during louder sections. It creates a shadow under the main sound and gives the bass extra menace without changing the fundamental patch. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't make the bass too wide too early. Don't oversaturate before the arrangement is working. Don't let the bass occupy sub and mid territory equally. Don't write notes that constantly overlap the snare. And don't solo the bass for so long that you forget how it behaves with a full rhythm section. In D&B, bass is judged in context. So here's your mini practice challenge. Build a bass rack with wavetable and operator. Make a two-bar motif using only 3 to 5 notes. Add saturator, EQ8, and utility. Keep the low-end mono below 120 Hz. Map one macro to filter cutoff and saturation. Then arrange that motif across 8 bars. Sparse for bars 1 and 2, fuller for 3 and 4, a switch up for 5 and 6, and a simplified ending for 7 and 8. Add a breakbeat or a drum loop and listen to how the bass answers the snare. Then make one version darker by cutting highs, and one version dirtier by increasing drive. Compare them. The big takeaway is this. In DNB, the bass is not just a sound. It's part of the rhythm section's storytelling. If you build it in layers, keep the low end disciplined, and arrange it with purpose, you can turn one bass patch into a drop that feels like it's breathing, speaking, and pushing forward all at once. All right, let's build it.